we continue our series on these messages from the book of Psalms, Balm for the Weary. Today we are considering Psalm 37, Portrait of Godliness. And we have four thoughts for our consideration. The godly man, his blessings, his God, his enemy. Four thoughts. This psalm was written by King David in his old age. He says, "I have been young and am now old," in verse 25. And the psalm here gives the quintessential of the godly man, the purest and most perfect example of a spirit-filled man. This is the word that is used to describe the spirit-filled man. Mark the perfect man. This is a special word for the word man. It's not the Adam, which is the earthly man, but this word is gaver. It means the spirit-filled man, the man who is walking with God. And behold the upright. So, what is this godly man? Who is he? And what does he look like? Well, that's the first thought that we want to put for us. So we have tried to summarize this psalm, right, by picking out the various verses to help us to see, right, the portrait of this man. Right. First, we said that his consistent faith in God and constant provision from God. That's the character of a man of God. Right. He has a consistent faith in God and receives a constant provision from God. Trust in the Lord and do good. Verily, thou shalt be fed. Right? Verse 3 of our text tells us, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily, thou shalt be fed. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And the Lord shall help him and deliver him. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Verse 3, verse 5, verse 40. So this man is characterized by faith. He has a tenacity to trust God in all situations. He would not use his own wisdom to order his own life, but in all things he took time to discern, understand the will of God through prayer, through the meditation upon God's word, right, through the counsel of godly men. And you also see how he takes pleasure in God and is richly rewarded. Delight thyself in the Lord, verse 4 and verse 23, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Delight thyself in the Lord. And what is the meaning of this word, to delight ourselves in the Lord? Well, it is to love him. It is to take time to cultivate a vibrant relationship with him. And one of the key delight in a Christian's life is the keeping of the Sabbath day. How do you prepare yourself for worship, for Sabbath, for the Sabbath day? Do you do so, right, with a preparation of heart, with an anticipation that the Lord wants you to have? Right? The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 58:13 and 14, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, nor seeking thy own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So this is a promise from God of his blessing upon the man of God, the child of God, who would take time to make worship the highest of all virtue in his life. And it's a personal walk, it's a personal relationship. As a person delights in the Lord, delights in the worship of him and in the preparation. And it's a personal relationship that we have with the Lord. The Lord says that when you do so, well, he gives you the desires of thy heart. As you take time to be in tune with God and his will becomes your will. And his delight, your delight. His blessings, your blessings. And so here we see an interesting aspect of the godly man's character. And thirdly, fully trusting his life and trusting his life to God and is divinely guided and protected. Verse 5, 13, 15, 17, and 19. Commit thy way unto the Lord, he shall bring it to pass. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You see, when we trust the Lord and be willing to stake all with the Lord, the Lord will be there to take care of us. Verse 13 says, the Lord shall laugh at him who? Well, the one who comes and disturb the peace of God's people, for he seeth that his day is coming. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. As you entrust your life to God, as you commit your ways to him, and you trust him to do that which is right in the sight of God, well, the Lord prosper your way. And so the godly men receive God's guidance and protection. And fourthly, having freedom from anxiety, even amidst suffering and poverty, with enduring, unwearied, uncomplaining, and long-suffering spirit, for God to act. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Verse 7 and verse 34. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exhort thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Right. When we take time to rest in the Lord, this resting in the Lord, this waiting patiently upon the Lord, is part of the life of a child of God. As we cast our cares upon the Lord, we are willing to let God act. We are willing to let God show the way. We are willing to let God bear our burdens. And we are willing to wait upon him, to trust that he would be able to make all things well and all things good. This is the faith that God wants his people to establish. And God sends trials and temptations into our lives in order to prove us. And this morning we were studying the book of Exodus, and Israel was getting out of Egypt. And when the Egyptian army was pursuing after them, they saw the Egyptian army coming after them. they said to Moses, "You should have left us in Egypt. It would be better for us to be slaves in Egypt than you would bring us out here into the wilderness to suffer and to die." Is God going to let it happen? Of course, the Lord will not allow them. Right? And the Lord said to them through Moses, "The Lord shall fight for thee, and ye shall hold thy peace." The Lord who, you know, promised them that they would be on the way to the promised land would surely make a way for them. Indeed, but the angel of God came, and the angel of God sent a cloud and darkness in between the chariots of Pharaoh and the fleeing Israelites who were at the edge of the Red Sea. So that for the whole night, there was that separation that caused the Egyptians to be lost in the darkness. They could not get near to the Israelites while the Lord asked Moses to place the staff upon the Red Sea, and the Red Sea parted and gave them dry land. There was a pillar of water on the left, pillar of water on the right, and dry land for them to cross. You see, this is where the children of Israel learn how to trust God. God said He will deliver them. Indeed, He will deliver them. And the people needed to learn how to trust God. And it is in the wilderness that they see God with them. And sometimes God has to strip us of the things that we have in order that we may learn that our true trust is in Him. God take away the things that we love most, the idols in our heart, and God will take them away from us, and so that, you know, when we are left without this, suddenly we feel a void in our heart. But we learn that, you know, our trust must not be in whatever things that is upon this earth. Some trust in relationships, some trust in might, some trust in power, some trust in wealth, some trust in this and trust in that. But the Lord said, "Trust in me." And the children of God has to learn that lesson. And oftentimes, God had to try them. Jesus gave the story of the rich young ruler. He had everything. The Lord said, "Sell everything and come and follow me." He said, "I couldn't. How could I sell everything?" Because that was his Achilles heel. That was the thing that he loved above the Lord. And the Lord was testing him. And at that critical point of test, he failed. He walked away from the Lord because he could not part with his riches. And so the Lord wants us to understand that nothing must come between us and the Lord, because He is the giver of all things. And so you see here, the man who trusts in God would be willing to rest upon God to take care of him in his life, refuse to be enraged to do evil, cease from anger in any wise to do evil. Verse 8 says, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." We are willing, even when pushed, not willing to do evil, do that which is not right in the sight of God, but be willing to wait upon God, to do His will. Sometimes we say, injustice, this not happy, what to do? Well, we commit all these things to God. God, who is the sovereign judge, will surely mete out just judgment. And we can trust in Him. And that is the a believer's lot. Okay? And also, he is contented with his lot in life. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. A little that the righteous man has, all that he has, well, was enough for him to live by. There was that the story of the widow's mite. She had only one mite, and she went and she gave it all to the Lord. And whereas others had plenty, well, they throw a little shilling to the Lord, and they said, "I have given to the Lord." But the Lord said, "No, let's be clear. What is true piety?" And the Lord wants us to be willing to see and understand, right? Be willing to know how God would want us to live our lives. Right? You can have little, and yet you can be happy. You can have a lot, and yet you can be unhappy. So the Lord is saying to us here, right, that we need to realize that whether we have more or we have less, it is from the Lord. God sovereignly giveth, and therefore we are to submit to His will. Right? Submit to His will concerning what He has for us. Right? Today it may be like that. Tomorrow it may be different. Right? You don't know what is at the turn of the corner. But we trust in the Lord, you see. And we continue to follow Him, continue to trust in Him to guide our steps, guide our way. Seventh, humbleness, submissiveness, and gentleness of spirit, together with honest, respectable, and honorable countenance, and blessed with an earthly inheritance. Verse 11, 22, and 29. But the meek shall inherit the earth. The Lord knows the days of the upright. Their inheritance shall be forever. Verse 11 says, but the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. For such as be blessed of Him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of Him shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. A humbleness of spirit, willing to submit to the will of God, and willing to follow the Lord. You know, as we follow the Lord, it doesn't matter what the outward prospect is, because the Lord grants us in the inner man a peace that enables us to handle whatever our lot in life. And that is very precious. That is something that the Lord gives to His people. So, as we learn to submit ourselves to God, to His will, to His purpose, God will take care of us. He never fails, and He never will. It's filled with God's word, and thus able to take steady steps. Verse 31, the law of His God is in His heart. None of His steps shall slide. Verse 31. So it's so blessed if you take time to study His word, take time to be consistent in imbibing His truth into our hearts, then you'll find that indeed we are able to take steady steps through life. You are able to continue to do God's will and continue to receive God's blessing. What a wonderful joy it is to be walking with God, to be following Him. And His blessings, that's the second thought. Right? He's blessed with God's upholding hand. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. Right? There are times when we don't know how to walk, and there are times when we may have walked on a wrong path. Right? But the Lord doesn't cause us to carry on in that way. Right? But He provides a way out for us. He gives to us His guidance and provides for us His strength and His wisdom so that we may continue to walk with Him. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. So it's not the end game for the believer. Right? The Lord always uses various situations in life, especially through chastisement, right, to bring us back to Him. And sometimes we don't like it, right, but that is good for us. God's provision. He's blessed with God's provision. Verse 25. I've been young and am now old, yet have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is forever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. So he says that I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I have not seen a situation where the people of God are left without help. Right? He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. So that is a promise from the Lord. Right? He knows where we stand, where we are, and he is never blind, right, to our need. And so for the people of God, this is a promise, right, that he's ever merciful and he provides for his people. God's peace. Right? Mark the perfect man, verse 37 says, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. When we take time to be with the Lord, take time to pray, take time to seek the Lord in all our ways, would we not have peace? Of course. Because God showed us the way and we walk therein. Would we not have peace? Of course we would have peace. We have abundance of peace. So the Lord tells us here, slow down. Slow down. Seek the Lord and His ways. Know what the Lord wants. And do so. The fourth. The blessing of God's strength and salvation. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. He receives strength. He receives deliverance. He receives salvation from the Lord. That's the godly man's blessing. And finally, help and deliverance. Verse 40. Verse 40 of our text says, the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. Trusting in the Lord. Faith is an intangible yet very tangible aspect of the godly man's life. Faith is intangible, and yet it's very tangible. Tangible in that, you know, it is the substance of things hoped for. And the substance of the invisible, God wants us to take hold of. The godly man, his blessings, his God. Who is this God? He called the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's the word Jehovah. It means the name, the covenant name of God of Israel. This is the God who made a promise to the people of God that He would bless them. And God made a promise to Abraham that He would bless his seed. Right? Genesis 15. He caused the animal to be killed, parted, and the Lord himself walked across to seal the covenant. A covenant that he himself will see to it, to its fruition. And we are Abraham's seed through Christ. And we have that promise of his blessings, of a spiritual inheritance. When the Lord returns, he would bring us to glory, and then he would establish his 1,000-year rule on earth in his second coming, and his saints would rule with him upon the earth. So this morning we were studying the establishment of the nation of Israel, the first steps to nationhood, and we said that God also was there when he resurrected modern Israel on the 14th of May, 1948, just one day after the establishment of the nation. Six Arab nations, all surrounding Israel, started to invade. They were superior in their armory, they were superior in their army, they were superior in all aspects, and yet they did not manage to gain any sovereign ground over the Israelite army, as the Lord was with Israel when he defeated Pharaoh. Yeah, Egypt was one of the nations that were in that consortium of six nations who tried to drive Israel into the sea. And how we saw this did not happen because it is the will of God, right? We were looking at the book of Isaiah, and we were looking at the text in Isaiah, how it was God's plan that Israel would return to the land, how it was God's plan that Israel would become a nation again. And because it is the will of God, well, man cannot thwart it. It is the will of God that he would send them back to the land, and it is his will that Israel shall be established again in the promised land. And so we saw in Isaiah 11 verses 11 and 12, it says, "And it came to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Petros, from Cush, from Elam, from Sinah, from Hamath, from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather them, the dispersed of Judah, from the four corners of the earth." And we rehearsed the words of our late principal, Reverend Toh, when he wrote the book Prophescope of Israel. And he said, "As Israel plays a major part in God's plan of salvation for a lost mankind, from the call of Abraham to the birth of the Savior by a young Jewish virgin, so is she predestined to the center stage of current history, to bring in the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. This being the case, the study of the rise and fall and rise of of Israel throughout the ages, culminating in her regathering as a nation today, is of paramount importance to alert us, as the fig tree shooting tender leaves is harbinger of summer. So must we be awakened to the nearness of his coming by an Israel so prominent in world affairs today." May the people of God realize and see what God is doing when he allowed the nation to come together again. And so this is a covenant-keeping God. God who keeps his promise. Right? He gave this promise to Abraham how many thousand years ago? Well, more than 3,500 years ago. And yet, this promises 4,000 years ago. And still, you know, these promises are unbroken. We have a covenant-keeping God. He keeps His word. And He says that He's going to return again when Jesus was ascended to heaven. He says that the angel said that He would return again. Indeed, He will. We have a covenant-keeping God. And as we keep close to Him, walk in His ways, follow Him, you'll find that He preserves us. Verse 18 of our text says, "The Lord knoweth the ways of the upright. The inheritance, their inheritance shall be forever." And so, you see here, the man of God has a God who sees to His protection. The Lord, and He's ever merciful. Here, the Lord tells us how He is a God that knows and understands what His people are going through and lendeth. The Lord provides the needful help for His people. The Lord will not fail. And that's a promise that we have from the Lord, that He will surely take care and we can trust in Him. And so then a just judge against the wicked. "But the wicked shall perish," verses 20 and 28. "And the enemies of the Lord shall be as fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off." You remember when Haman tried to make a gallows to kill Mordecai, when we were studying that, he made a gallows that is so big, and it ended up for his own head. Ayo. So it was sad, right? Yeah, because, well, the Lord see to it. Trustworthy. The Lord is trustworthy. "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Our Lord is trustworthy. You can trust in Him to take care of you. Right? And these are the promises of God. And He provides for us His wisdom at how we can receive help. "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall come to pass. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in Him." Therefore, we need to keep faith, keep trusting the Lord, keep looking to Him. Verse 8, "He is a provider. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied." You see, days of famine does come. But for the people of God, when we read world situation, when we read events that is before us, oftentimes we become frightened by what would confront us. But the Lord wants us to steel our heart to trust in Him. And it's not easy, because we trust in an invisible God. You cannot see Him, right? But we need to cultivate that faith in Him and take hold of His words, take hold of His promises. When it becomes a reality, then you have a strength in your heart, right, to go through the rigors of life and to be able to see the glory of God sustaining you, keeping you, making a way for you. "Though he fall," verse 24 says, "he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. God is so good. Unfailing. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his sins. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. His enemy. The fourth thought. The name. Wicked. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with the teeth. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as fat of lambs. They shall consume. Into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. But the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. The wicked watches the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Evildoers, that's the other name. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. For evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Do that which is right in the sight of God, and the Lord will sustain you, keep you. And doing that which is pleasing in the sight of the Lord, is best. Workers of iniquity, verse 1b. Neither shalt thou be envious against workers of iniquity. Right? Those who live a life that is crooked, is a bending. And they seem to be prospering. Right? Do not be envious. Right? Do not be envious of their prosperity. Transgressors. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. Right? Those who, the word transgressor, to transgress means to rebel. Right? Rebel against God. That's the word that is used to describe Satan, right? Lucifer. When he rebelled against God. Rest in the Lord. temporal prosperity. Right? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth his way. You may not. You may think, I'm doing the right thing. And yet, where am I? What am I doing? Well, the text tells us that we are to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Right? Fret not thyself. Fret not means, you know, not to become agitated, right? But continue to rest in the Lord. Right? God is aware. God is fully in tune with what is right, what is just. In his sight. Cut off the evildoers, the enemy. Cut off, perish, consume, destroy. Verse 9, 20, 22, 38. For evil doers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. Verse 13, will be judged. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Oppress. The wicked have drawn out the sword and bent their arrows to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. That's verse 14. Boomerang judgment, verse 15. Their sword shall enter into their own heart. Their bows shall be broken. The Lord knows. The Lord will... be sure that the Lord is there to mete out just judgment. Attempt in futility to ambush, slay the righteous. The wicked watches the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord protects his own and blesses. So, the godly man's portrait. What are we to do? Well, we are to absorb. Understand the portrait of the godly and his blessings, his God, his enemy's sad ending, and assimilate. Follow the godly man's example and be richly blessed by his covenant-keeping God. The godly man and his blessings come from his good God who subdues all his enemies. Therefore, take heart, dear brethren. He is able. Wholly depend on him. Behold the salvation of the Lord. We close with a hymn, The Steps of a Good Man. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for showing us the good man's, the godly man's portrait. Lord, we are weak, but thou art strong. And we want to come before thee to make right with thee. Come before thee to receive strength, receive thy blessing. Lord, may thou be gracious to strengthen thy people. But this with thy word, this I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.